All right, so I'd like to call this session of the Courts of Public Safety Committee in order. I've got a couple of items on the agenda tonight. We've got a resolution that we've discussed and a potential ordinance that we will discuss as well. Probably want to address the resolution. Hopefully all of the committee members received their email from the counselor last week. So the resolution discussed has to do with the property that is owned, that was purchased for the Faulkner County Animal Shelter. And I think what I'll do at this point is recognize Justice Jim Houston to talk to us about that, if you'd like to.
Yes, sir.
Come on up here.
Excellent. Okay. Essentially, we've been talking back and forth regarding the funding of the building for the animal shelter, where the funds came from, and where the funds are going to go to replenish the money for the animal shelter. And one of the things that we haven't looked at and that we really haven't even discussed is the fact that that money was purchased, and now the money was used to purchase the building, and now the consensus seems to be that that building is no longer suitable for the folks in the animal control group. I'm of the opinion if that building is no longer suitable, then we should sell the building. We should sell the building, find suitable housing for the Sheriff's Department, and then take those funds and replenish the funds back into that account for the Animal Control Fund. And what I'm wanting to do is propose a resolution, basically, that states that's what we do. We ask the judge to sell the building, find suitable housing for the Sheriff's Department, and replenish that $500,000 back into the account to build the Animal Control Building.
Okay, so you hear the recommendation from Justice Houston from the committee. Are there any questions for Justice Houston?
I've got a question.
All right, question.
You said find suitable housing for the Sheriff's Department. So what's going to happen to that? I mean, he's not going to occupy that building?
The contract with the Sheriff's Department right now was for a two-year contract, and that was it.
Right.
So that building won't sell overnight. So essentially, they would have to basically have a delayed evacuation clause where essentially if they sold it, or if the people that bought the building, they would agree to let the Sheriff's Department stay within their contract.
So you're saying that we should just sell that building outright to anyone who wants to do it?
Yes, sir. We do. We bought it that way. And we knew that the Sheriff's Department was going to move there. That building was bought with the intent of the Animal Control Building being their possession, their property, at the end of 2 years. And now the general consensus is that building isn't suitable. So therefore, because that building is not suitable, we should sell the building, restore the funds, and then find the Sheriff's Department other place to put its departments.
Mr. Chair, I guess the first question I would have, I know that the sheriff's here, and I mean, I'm going to ask the last question first. Do you like the building? Do you want to be in the building?
We absolutely love it.
Okay.
And it's a perfect atmosphere for us, and our evidence that we have, our abundance of evidence that we have. It's located right next to the justice building, and it's a perfect situation for us. But we also understand that we're under a two-year contract. At the end of that contract, and what the judge had explained to me at the very beginning of this, at the end of that contract, if for some reason that the animal shelter decided not to go that route, that we would be able to maintain that building. If they was to go that route, that he would build us a facility that would accommodate our criminal investigation division and our evidence.
So the judge promised you he'd build you a building?
I have to look at the contract. Is that what it says?
That's it. Okay. I have a copy of the lease.
Does it say that you would build it? Okay.
Me too.
And not to put you or the judge, either one, on the spot, but I mean, I think that's what I heard you say.
Clark, we had conversation at that time with a different options. One of them was building a facility on those grounds next to the Justice Building.
Okay, fair enough. So then I guess that would be my last question. My first question is, Counselor, before you go off, I see you back there walking. Okay, I'll let you look first. I'll ask second.
Yeah, allow him to refresh his memory on that, because I'm sure there's going to be some contract questions, because the regardless of what we do, the contract is going to have some sway in whatever
sure.
decisions are made.
In the event that the animal shelter finds a more suitable location and it is determined that the shelter will not locate at this location, the sheriff's office will have the first option to remain in the building. If the sheriff's office exercises such option, the county will reimburse the animal control fund for the purchase price of the property in addition to rent paid, and the sheriff's office will possess the building rent-free from that point on. Alternatively, if the court resolves during the term of this lease that the animal control fund has sufficient operating funds to open a shelter and remains interested in the subject property, the first option will go to that use at the end of the term.
So I guess, Counselor, let's just stop there for a moment. Let's just kind of work on this a bit at a time. So I believe we do have a resolution on the books that basically indicates that facility is not to be utilized for the animal shelter. I believe the resolution where we have agreed to reimburse the animal fund indicates that. So I guess we can make it a given that is not a suitable location for the animal shelter. So is there a consensus? That's the consensus I'm looking for.
Okay.
Is that the court's understanding?
My understanding.
Okay.
I can't answer that now. I can't answer the question that was specifically asked. I read the wrong part, so that was relevant, but not as relevant as this. Prior to terminating this lease, the county will ensure that an adequate and suitable location for a long-term placement of CID is available for immediate occupancy upon termination. So what this lease did was make sure from the county judge's perspective, it's not a promise to build a new building, but it is a promise to make sure that there is a place to put CID that's reasonable and suitable for them before they get kicked out of that. When we did that, when I wrote that contract, there was some talk about, you know, let's make a promise to build a building, let's make a promise to do this, let's take care of them. And one of the things I said was, the executive branch cannot actually make a promise to build them a building, but the county can and has to make a promise to make sure that CID has a place to be.
Okay, fair enough. That answers that. So the sheriff wants the building. And Justice Houston, I appreciate, you know, what you're doing. I think that, you know, one of the things that I wanted to do originally was guarantee them that we would, you know, we would adequately pay the animal control fund back when this whole thing came about, even to the point of trying to get it where we offered them another $200,000 if they didn't take it. And I think the judge said he wasn't Santa Claus that night, which I agree he's not. My question is, can we use funds in other county locations, Counselor, to basically do what we've done with the animal control money? Can we take funds out of, say, County General Road Fund and purchase that building for can we take that and purchase it from the animal control fund to give them their money back whole, and then the county owns the building, and then we would ultimately pay County General Road Fund or whatever fund back? Is that possible?
It may or may not be. I'd have to do some research. I can do that. It won't take very long to figure that out. The difference that I see in those two possibilities, let me stand up here where I can see. The difference that I see in those two things is when we did what we did with the animal control fund, there was some talk about doing it different ways. And finally, I said, this is an investment. Animal control fund is going to own this building as much as animal control fund can own anything. They will get the benefit from it. You cannot, and I told the judge, you cannot buy this building and then use it for something that to which the benefit will not go back to the animal control fund, because that would be a misappropriation.
Okay.
As long as you're buying this building and the animal control fund is getting the benefit from it in some fashion, which they are for the rent purposes, then you can look at it as an investment of that money, and at a certain level, it's good stewardship. Now, the difference in that and, say, the road fund or some, or the criminal justice fund and so forth, is there's a lot more state statute legislation that controls the use of that sales and use tax than there is a voluntary tax. And so that's what I've got to go back and research and see if we can, off the cuff, I would say there's going to be a difference, but I got to research it before I can answer solid.
Justice?
Yes, sir.
If my memory serves me, I can be wrong on this, but like David said, there are stipulations on the county road money to the point that they almost have to occupy the building. Have you heard of, in the Internal Revenue, they have what's a term called arm's length transaction? That means you cannot benefit a relative by just giving them free rent or selling them something for a dollar. That they can come back and hit you with a big fine and stuff like that. I'm not saying I know this for sure, but I think that in all reality, if the county road money is used to buy that building, it has to be occupied by the county road. But I'm not sure. The reason why I'm saying that is because I think the Office of Emergency Services building out by, is it by the county shop? Mm-hmm. I think that was built with county, at least portion-wise. So that one needs to be looked at. You know, that may be your out right there.
Okay.
I'll do the research and give you an answer.
I agree that we need to give them their money back. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But I differ, I guess, with you a little bit, Justice Houston, in that I don't. I mean, listen, it's a fantastic location. I brought Centennial Bank, allowed me to use their grill the other night, Saturday night. I brought it back, and one of your chief CID guys was out back, and you know they were working. It's right there by the jail. I mean, it's right there by your place. I mean, if there's a way for the county to buy it versus selling it to someone else, I just would think that we would, that should be our first avenue.
I don't disagree.
If it's possible.
Well, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but my point is that it was bought with this intent, and now that intent is not there.
I can't disagree with that at all.
And to both points, the contract does give the Sheriff's Department first option.
Yes.
Okay.
Sheriff Riles, if I kind of got a question for you. So you guys are leasing the building, renters, if you will.
Yes, sir.
So are you utilizing the building as a renter the same way that you would if you actually own the facility, if you will, at the county?
We are currently.
What I'm getting at is, I mean, have you guys remodeled and all of that, or would y'all do things differently if it was actually assigned to you on a permanent basis?
We did minor renovations with hardly any money at the very beginning, just to get it into a position to where we could actually occupy it and get our work done, have some offices. But it was all minor stuff that we did, paint, those type of things. If we owned that building down the line, there's so much more capacity for that building and opportunity for us. Before we do raids, we have every jurisdiction and every officer in the world who comes in. So we have a location now that if we own that, we could actually have a briefing and a debriefing area and a training area. We could actually put some training tools and equipment, you know, in different areas of it too, as well. So, yeah, if we owned it, we would be putting some more money into that to accommodate some of our needs. Until then, while we're renting, we're keeping it as is as much as we can, and utilizing it to keep us out of the rain.
Okay. All right. And then I guess more for the record, I've also heard that you guys are basically renting it for, you know, pennies on the dollar for that property and everything. But as I understand it, you're paying the same amount of rent that you were paying in your previous location.
That's correct.
So whatever you were paying on the other property, we're paying that same amount for this property. And it really, if I recall the discussion, it really didn't make a lot of sense to charge the sheriff's department, I mean, charge ourselves a whole lot more money for that, because it would just come out of county general. Okay, that was just more for clarification than anything else.
We spent $20,000 a year rent from UCA.
Okay.
And so now we're paying $20,000 rent
to the animal fund.
To the animal shelter.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. So little sidebar there. So any additional discussion or questions for Justice Houston regarding this?
What's commercial rent go for?
I'd have to see the building. I mean, if it's rustic, it's...
Gentlemen, again, let me say one more time that the fact that we... The building was purchased for a specific purpose, and that purpose can no longer be served based on the comments and the prevailing consensus from the animal control folks, that the building doesn't suit their needs anymore. So we bought it in good faith for this reason. Now it can't be used for that reason. Therefore, I believe... Since there is a big push to return those funds to the animal control folks, let's sell the building.
I would be in favor of forwarding this to the full court, knowing that we've got the additional information that I'm looking for coming to us by next Tuesday night. Sure. As to a way that the county could potentially purchase it. I would move that we pass the resolution to the full court for approval.
For
consideration.
Okay, so we have a motion to forward this to the full court for additional discussion and for consideration. Do I have a second?
This is a resolution, right?
This is a resolution, yes.
Second.
Okay, so we have a second. So what this will do, this will move it to the full court so that we can have additional discussion on it with all 13 members. Any additional discussion with the committee or JP's present?
What did I just say? I'm going to figure out.
If monies that we have in other accounts in the county,
okay,
can be
the
used
OEM deal.
Okay, right.
To purchase it back from the animal control fund.
Right.
I would like to make one comment.
Okay.
Concerning this, the animal control people are getting $20,000 a year at this point. If it was out on the market, you know, that money was out there on the market, it wouldn't draw anywhere near $20,000. Okay? I'd just like for people to remember that.
If I'm not mistaken, the judge had pointed out that we were making a little over 1% on the money when we bought the building. And don't hold me to the number, but I want to say it was like 3 to 4% that the return was going to be from the sheriff's department renting that building.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, if we give it back to them, I mean, even at 2%, that's $30,000 a year.
Okay, so
if we give it back to them and then their fund gets, that's at $1.5 million. I think if we give it back to you, you'll have $1.4 million, if I'm not mistaken. But I mean, at 2%.
On $500,000?
No, on the whole $1.4 million, that would be $28,000. Now, I don't know what a money market account or a CD, I mean, where do we even have their money right now, the other money? Scott's not here. Anybody?
Yeah, it's in with the rest of the treasury money, as I understand it.
Okay. So it may be that it's not earning anything. But again, until they use it, I mean, we might as well set it somewhere that it can make them some money. Which, I agree, to Justice Dodge's point, it was. I mean, $20,000 was better than a stick in the eye. But $28,000 is better than $20,000, I think.
They're drawing whatever percent that county's drawing,
right?
Approximately 1%.
Okay.
You know.
Well, in that case, it's a little less if it's 1%.
Yeah.
That property is too valuable to the county for us to put on the open market. I think we're our own best customers there.
Yep.
The real task is, where are we going to come up with the money to pay back the animal control?
That's exactly right. You have one of those.
To answer your question about what interest they're making, I went to First Security and Centennial Bank both and negotiated a 1.5%, and they were going to do that countywide for all the offices.
Okay.
So okay. Times I think all the county offices accounts are making more than half.
Well, and that on 1.4 million times 0.015, that's 21,000. We got you another 1,000 if we move it.
Yeah, but you're doing it on the whole amount, and it should only be done on the 500 is what's pulled out of there. They're already getting it on the other.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
That's
right. Justice Boyer, do you have a question?
I guess what I was, my question was.
Please stand and make yourself seen, sir.
I was standing and make myself seen. I've said this
that's
before, and I'll
point,
say it
Martin.
Again. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Are we talking about 1.4 million or 500,000? Because there's a difference.
Yeah. To Margaret's point, really, we are talking because I didn't realize we were already drawing the 1.5% on the 900,000.
Right.
So we are talking about. So it'd be less.
Be, yeah. Considerably less than the 20,000.
Yeah.
I'm not for or against anything right now, but I'm trying to get my numbers straight.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Before our and on the controlled shelter fund, thinks they're going to get 28,000 or 21,000 when it's going to be less than the amount that.
The difference would be at the 1.5 would be
$7,400
versus 20,000. Right. $7,500.
All right. Any further discussion from the committee? We have a motion on the floor to forward this to the full court. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Justice Houston, this will be forwarded to the full court.
Thank you, Justice.
All right. Don't run off too far.
I'm not going to be here.
Excuse me.
You can change folders.
Y'all need to have a huddle? Just
check. I remind him of his deadlines.
Okay. All right. Next item up for business is a potential ordinance regarding liquor permit approval requirements. And I'm going to, again, recognize Justice Houston and let him talk to this. I've got one.
One of the last couple of meetings when we've had the gentleman come in to look at moving his liquor permit from the city of Conway to the area around 8 Mile Store. I've been thinking about this, and I'm a little bit concerned because we don't have a valid process within the county that says, if you want to do this, you've got to do this, 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 and this. And so thinking about the conversations that we've had around the table, and then also thinking about what it is that works best for the people in a specific area. And as you all are well aware, there are areas in this county where people will say yes, and there are areas where people will say no. They don't want anything to do with it, and some people are more accommodating. I took a little bit and basically worked out a rough draft on a proposed ordinance that says these are the steps that you need to follow if you're going to set up a liquor by the drink establishment in the county of Faulkner. Again, this is a rough draft, but this is my idea of what I think we need to be looking at. And I understand the arguments about the dry county, and I'm going to refer to Councilor Hogue here and let him explain one more time. I'm going to ask him to the differences in dry county and liquor by the drink in a county. But these are just some of the things that I looked at because, some of the things we have to do is to protect the citizens in an area. But also, when you think about a county being dry, If the county is dry, then why are we drinking in Conway? So theoretically, it's not really a dry county. So anyway, with that said,
I think the official term is damp.
Again, this is my thoughts on a process that where I believe that we can look and we can start building a foundation because I'm really concerned. Based on what Justice Tessie was talking about in my conversations with Councilor Hogue about the possibility of lawsuits, unless we basically say we reject everybody, nobody gets approved ever. Or are we going to allow some people to get approved and some people not to get approved at some point in the future? So again, my goal one more time is to try to establish a process and try to establish some minimum requirements for an applicant. And with that said, I'm going to ask Councilor Hogue to define one more time the differences.
Can you hand that down?
Yes.
Okay.
Are there any handouts left? Yes.
Okay. This is one of those things that I've litigated so much that I can easily talk longer than you want to hear, so I'm going to try to keep it brief and then answer questions instead of just talking. First of all, you've got terminology issues. So when we call Faulkner County a dry county, there's a difference between the lay term dry county and the legal term dry county. The lay term dry county means there's no alcohol in the county. That's not what we have legally in Faulkner County. What we have legally in Faulkner County is you cannot sell alcohol in Faulkner County. Now, every time I say that to somebody, people always say, but Mr. Hogue, I just went to Mike's place a couple days ago and I bought a drink. And I say, no, you didn't. You went to, under the private club law of the state of Arkansas, you went to Mike's place a couple days ago and you got a drink. And you paid a restocking fee to the private club to restock that drink in their bar. That sounds, it's a clever thing. It's legal gymnastics, if you want to call it. I'm not going to say too much negative about it because I know who wrote the bill or got the bill passed. And so, but that's what's happening. The rule about being a dry county does not mean we don't serve alcohol in the county. It means that we don't sell alcohol in the county. As a matter of fact, given the question recently, somebody asked me the question, if a hair salon wants to serve alcohol complimentarily to people who come into your hair salon, can they do that in a dry county? I had my opinion on that. I called the ABC, and I talked to staff counsel for the ABC, and staff counsel for the ABC said, yes, as long as it's complimentary, and no one can prove or show that they're selling alcohol, then it's legal. It's just like you can go to Steve Good's house, and if he serves you alcohol, that's legal as long as it's an adult. Yes, sir.
So under that premise,
yep.
If I wanted to sell someone a ribeye steak in my grocery store that normally costs $8.99 for $21.99, and give them a complimentary six-pack along with that, I can do that.
You probably could, yes, unless someone gets, and this is the conversation I had with staff attorney at the ABC, unless the ABC can trace through your books and see that that you're charging an exorbitantly high price for that ribeye, and they can see that...
Who determines that?
You're right.
Who determines if the hairdresser is...
You're making an absolutely good point, and I made that to the ABC. So the point is, legally, whether we like it or not, there is no sale of alcohol in Faulkner County. And as soon as we call it a dry county, we've got to use the legal term in this context. And that means that doesn't mean there's no service. That means there's no sale. Now, with that said, what Mr. Houston is bringing you is basically an attempt to make the quorum court's decision an objective, consistent standard. I can appreciate that. On the other hand, the lobbying that went on by the ABC lobby and the decisions in the legislature, they very carefully crafted this law to take the subjective standard that they were dealing with that gets appealed over and over and over to the circuit courts, and they pay their attorneys lots of money to appeal and to defend all those appeals to the circuit court. They took the most appealable spot, which is the objective stuff, and they sent the objective or the subjective standards down to you guys. That's what they did. So they're left with the objective standards that are less likely to get appealed, and you guys have the subjective standards that are more likely to get appealed. And what happens there is that if I'm a alcohol private club owner, I'm going to come here and I'm going to get the decision made on the subjective level. This is where the public would come in and oppose it. This is where the public would come in and approve it or whatever. And then when they get to the ABC, once they've already done this, they've got a lot of objective standards. ABC is less likely to get appealed through this process because of this legislation. So whoever wrote this legislation, if they did what I think they did, it was fairly ingenious, because they're saving themselves a lot of legal fees by avoiding a lot of appeals.
I think you're giving too much credit there, but anyway.
Well, if that's what they're doing, it's very well done. With that said, this is you've got some options here. You can either take this and make it very objective and make your decisions based on that. You can go a little deeper and say, we're going to go into the old case law that used to govern the ABC and governs the circuit courts on this point. And there's some case law about traffic flow and economic development and so forth, as what the standards should be. You can incorporate those things through case law into your ordinance. You can even go into the ordinance, and this is the thing that people fight the most about in circuit court. You can even go into the ordinance and give yourselves the guidance to look at every private club that comes in front of you and determine whether they are a legitimate nonprofit or a legitimate private club. To do that, you're going to get into, and I know this because I've litigated it so many times, you're going to get into the books of the private club and the financial accounting and everything else, their whole purpose, and you're going to get awfully far into the weeds for a forum court. You're going to put yourself in the position of circuit court. If you don't do that, a lot of the law that was passed about private clubs is likely to be ignored. And if you do that, you're putting yourselves in the position of circuit judges. And so we're in a catch-22. I think that when they wrote this law, they knew what they were writing. And they did it to some degree knowing that they were making a situation where a lot of the ABC rules on private clubs would fall by the wayside.
So a couple of comments, Counselor. I don't know if you're through or not.
I am.
But I'll jump in here. It seems to me that Act 1112 has reduced a significant load from the Alcohol Beverage Control Division. You know, I'm curious to know if the state legislature also reduced their budget so they can distribute that to the quorum courts who's picking up the load. Just an observation on my part, since they're not doing their assigned job. So again, I applaud Justice Houston for trying to put a well thought out guideline for us. And I'm going to speak my personal view on this. You know, my view is that your dry county definition notwithstanding, we are a dry county. And,
yes.
I don't control and have no input in what the city of Conway does. I'm not a citizen of the city of Conway, so I don't go to their city councils and, provide citizen comment on it. I am a citizen of Greenbrier. We've had this happen in Greenbrier, and I did provide feedback there when the situation came up once. My view on this is that we are a dry county, and in the county, the easy way, the simple way, the fair way is that we don't approve any of them. And if the citizens of Faulkner County want to change that, they can take it to the poll. That's what elections are about. And they can either, number one, change all those sitting at the quorum court table, or they can turn and take it to the ballot and vote on it there. I think that would be easier as far as liability. When we're talking about liability, I know Justice Tessing brought up specific issues about who do we and who do we not provide licenses to. Even with this very well thought out, and if we were to add another five or six items to this, there's still going to be somebody offended when Bud gets one and Sally Mae doesn't get one, regardless of whether they meet this criteria or not. So as much as I applaud trying to have nice, upstanding people being able to do this, my view is we're a dry county. And if the city of Conway wants to do their thing, they can. I don't think that the pitiful tax money that we'll receive this makes a difference. That's just my, I'm just one JP. So that's my input. So again, I applaud Justice Houston. He's expressed his case. I've expressed mine on the other side. So I'm opening it up. Justice Tessing, please.
You know, a couple of years back, I was traveling over to the casinos in Memphis, because we have a horse show over there. I'll stop by and lose a few dollars. I don't mind admitting it. So, the thing is that I asked...
They don't open those casinos so that you can make money, I'm just telling you.
That's right. They don't build casinos for winners.
That's right.
So, the thing is I asked them, I said, How come this casino here is benefiting Lula? And somebody told me that Lula incorporated about 4 feet along the highway all the way down to where the casino is located. Made it part of the city. City of Conway could do the same thing because they have jurisdiction after 5 months or longer. You know what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
It could literally take in a sidewalk width
and
make it the city of Conway have an area that is considered the city of Conway around that restaurant. Not saying that they're going to, but and Justice Higgins, I have to heartily agree with you. We are a dry county, and it is a very strenuous religious matter that we're dealing with here that will offend a lot of people, no matter how which way we go. And the reason why I said what I said in the last meeting is that we have, nowadays we are in what's called a litigious society. Litigious means we've got a lot of people like David over there who are sharpening their teeth every time we make a decision. And so, I was nice, David.
I took it nice.
And so, we have to be so very careful about awarding and then not awarding. And your point about not giving it to anybody would still probably going to end up in court somewhere sometime. But I'm just, this is a serious problem that the court, whether I'm on the court or not, is going to be dealing with. And he might need a little more legal help because he
Justice Dodge?
One of the things that I think this is a good list and some great things here. But, you know, I see nothing in here. And if we're going to develop, if we decide that we're going to develop something go like this, then I think we need to be looking at youth. Are you going to, you got a youth building where the youth meet and congregate and it's close to that? You know? And then you move in and want to put something in right beside it, you know. That's not a very good, in my opinion, and I think a lot of other people, the youth should not be subjected to something like this. If the parents want to, then that's their prerogative. But for a youth group to be out here, you're going to have people feeling that shouldn't be, and I personally feel that is something, you know, that's a tremendous problem.
No, I don't disagree with Justice.
And so I just think that something or another, I'd like to see something that could be put into this to because of the youth situation.
I can help you with that, Mr. Chairman. May I?
Yes.
What he has given you is he sent me his notes and I put it in the form and I did the whereases and it was and put it onto his list. There are some things on this list that I'm not sure would pass constitutional muster. For example, 1A, proof of individual U.S. citizenship. So this is something that needs to be tweaked, but this is the rough draft as he gave it to me.
This is conceptual.
Right. I want to show you or tell you a couple of things out of Moore versus King, which is an appellate court decision from Arkansas that would almost have to be in this ordinance. One sentence here is the Alcohol Beverage Control Board is empowered to determine, this is the standard, this is the pole star, you might say, whether public convenience and advantage will be promoted by issuing the permits and by increasing or decreasing the number thereof. So the standard that the ABC has to determine, especially used to have to determine when it was more subjective, and the matter that the trial court holds the ABC or a permittee to is to show whether the public convenience and advantage will be promoted by issuing the permit. In figuring out whether the public convenience and advantage will be promoted, there are a number of factors. I'm going to read this. There are a number of factors that the ABC should consider before making a determination. Number and types of alcohol permits in the area, economic impact, traffic hazards, remoteness of the area, degree of law enforcement available, and input from law enforcement and or public officials in the area. Comments from area residents in opposition or support. Those are the things that this is what I'm calling the subjective part of the test. That is the stuff that the ABC basically sent down to the corner courts, wrapping all around that. And so we're supposed to give, or you're supposed to give, your endorsement or not, and then they go back and check the documents and make sure all the documents are there, mostly from there, to grant or deny the permit. They don't get to go to the ABC hardly at all without your endorsement, but if we pass an ordinance that's anything like this, you're going to want to put at least some of this language into that ordinance. From litigating all this, I can tell you that the issue with the youth group and the church there, that would fall under traffic hazards, remoteness of area, number and types of alcohol permits in the area. That would fall under those things. It always does in circuit court. Yes.
But to that point, currently, ABC says that a permit by the drink can share a common wall with the church. So is county law going to preempt state law then? Can county law preempt state law? Because if ABC says currently the things share a common wall.
County law can be more restrictive than state law.
Okay.
On certain things, yes.
Okay.
So we can be tighter on it than state law is, depending on how you define tighter than state law.
Justice, if I may, one of the things also that I didn't spell out earlier was this requires a petition signed by X number of individuals that live in a region or an area, a radius of the location. Now, that location is going to change based on the population density of that area. So if there's, I talked to Sheila at OEM and I talked to Chrissy's office also and had them use their softwares and said, okay, tell me how many houses are within 1,500 feet of this address. If you take, you'll say just for even numbers, you have 100 houses, two adults in a house is 200 people. That's not enough people to get something. So my point is there's a mechanism in place where we can say we need 51% of the adult individuals in a house times two, 51%. If any of those signatures are found, if we audit 1%, and any of those petitions, signatures are found to be invalid, it invalidates the entire petition. They're done. So it puts the onus on the individual to make sure that the people live in the house, they're over 21 years old, and that they're within inside that specific radius. Now, again, some may be 1,500 feet, some may be 3,500 feet if there's not enough people in an area. But let the people in those areas, in my mind, is let the individuals that live in that specific area, let them decide.
So I'm thinking that on this most recent request that we had, if we had 1,500 foot radius, that might have been like 9 people.
There were 60 houses.
Within 1,500 feet?
Yes.
That does surprise me.
More than I thought.
Just as good?
Well, I mean, who's going to make that determination of how many?
This court would determine, you know, what's our minimum? We need 500 signatures? You know, so what we can do is we say we need X number of signatures or X number of people need to sign this petition. And so we may have to move that radius from 1,500 feet out to 4,000 feet to get 500 signatures, or for 51% of the total number of houses in an area.
You know, as I think about this, I think before we got into this too far, it's obvious that local governments have been tasked with carrying a big load from the ABC divisions. I've already mentioned they ought to have spare time. I'd almost want to see the director of the ABC here in Faulkner County talking to us or one of his deputies and sharing with us the tribal knowledge that he may have regarding this whole deal that we could sit here for days and not fully understand. So I think that would be something. It's a she?
It's a she. The enforcement side is a male, and the administration side is Mary Robin Castile.
Okay. Anyway, I think it would be appropriate to have somebody from the ABC down here to talk to us about this. You know, and at some point, I'd also like to, include our own law enforcement, you know, to give us some feedback on it as well.
And again, Justice, this is just a rough idea, something that, based on the conversations, the two applications, petitions have been made from the gentleman that wanted to move out by the 8 Mile store out there. You know, I said, you know, we have an issue. We need a process. If we're going to do this, if we're going to allow and say, put the stamp on there and say, yes, we as a quorum court approve you, or Fulton County approve you. If we say no, we say no.
So here's, again, just a little feedback is that a potential slippery slope, no matter how we do this, or no slope at all, if we draw the line and say we're not going to do it, you can go to the city of Conway. Obviously, they'll open, they'll welcome you with open arms.
Yes.
And by the way, we still get tax money off of that. Counselor?
Here's the thing. To me, it boils down, at least for tonight, obviously this ordinance is not ready to be passed on to the quorum court yet. The question I would ask this committee is, am I going to keep working on this and bring in some of this and give you a better draft?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Is I'm trying to see if there's enough interest to move forward with it. So that's a good point.
I would like more information. I think that we're headed in a decent direction here with some guidelines. But like you said, I would like to have the director here. This is a heavy burden for a county to absorb. I think that... But we're not ready to do anything tonight. I would almost make a motion that we table this and get more information and possibly get the director in here and to talk to see what we're doing.
I agree. I think we're getting close to that. Justice
But in fairness to the director, she's not the one that passed the legislation.
No.
I mean, now she can probably come answer the questions that we have.
All right.
But she's not who, she's not who passed the legislation.
You don't reckon she whispered in anybody's ear, do you?
I don't know. I'll ask tomorrow. I'll call and ask.
Okay. Anyway, we'll see.
Who will
Justice Boyer, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Please stand and be recognized.
Thank you, Chairman Higgins. This is interesting, and I have a couple of questions, and it may or may not be pertinent to what y'all are thinking about. But we're talking about the city of Conway in Faulkner County, and it's the largest city in Conway in Faulkner County. I mean, Conway's the largest city in Faulkner County. There's no question about that. But we have some other cities in Conway, Faulkner County, Mayflower, Greenbrier, Bologna, the megalopolis of Worcester. Are we going to take jurisdiction over those cities?
No.
Well, that's what I don't see here, that they are exempted from.
It wouldn't matter because it would fall within their own jurisdiction. So
the city of Conway has ordinance allowing them to do that.
Yeah, we don't want to take ownership of what the city of Greenbrier, Bologna does. If they want to,
they actually have to do the same thing that we're doing if it's in their city limits.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's not spelled out. Is that part of ABC?
It is. Yes. Cities have to do for cities.
It's part of the Act 1112.
Yes. Right. And counties have to do for camp. Quorum courts have to do for
the one mile, five mile. I think Justice Tessin mentioned a 5 mile distance from the city limit.
That's no longer in effect. That was struck down a few years ago.
It's just 1 mile now.
Every city is different.
Yeah.
Based on population, and it wouldn't have to do with this. It has to do with zoning regulations and so on.
Right.
Right.
But within that 1 mile, or 5 miles, or whatever it is, Worcester or Mayflower, whoever, has jurisdiction within that for building standards.
Period.
City ended up making them come in and do all that. It's a dry county, Chairman Higgins.
Yes, sir. It is. Yes, sir.
My initial reaction in the discussion last meeting was that we needed something like this to make it fair. But after listening to all the legal touchiness here, one question I would have is, who pays for the litigation costs if we make a mistake?
If you make a mistake... Let's put it in real terms and say that Rangel, who brought his petition, technically, once he's denied, he has two options. He can sue the county for some sort of wrongful denial. If he did that, it would have to be for violating his civil rights. It would have to go under 1983. It would have to be based on race, ethnicity, national origin, gender, et cetera, et cetera. If he could prove a case, then it would be most likely me defending that. I don't think it would fall under our insurance, and so it might be Rainwater, Holton, Sexton. But it would either be insurance paying for it, or it would be me doing it and therefore us paying for it. If we grant the permit and then he goes to ABC, ABC denies the permit, then he sues ABC and they defend it. So if your idea is we're afraid to grant or deny based on possible litigation, then what you do is you grant every one of them and let the ABC take it from there. But I don't.
Which means that they'll just grant it.
Yeah, that's
pretty much an endorsement.
That's what they did this for. That's exactly
right. So also I assume then that there would be, we would have to work in some type of an appeals process that if even if they checked all, if they missed one of the boxes and check it and we denied it, then they'd have an appeals process when, or would it, or
I,
not?
I don't think so. When if you guys deny the, it's like a lot of other things in here. If you deny something, the appeal process is that they sue you in circuit court, and that's basically that appeal.
Okay.
In my world, it looks like a lawsuit against the county. It's just as much just an appeal to the circuit court against the county's decision.
Okay. Justice Pickett?
Remember that when Prohibition was repealed in 1933 by amendment, whatever it was, that amendment set up a system in which the individual states regulated alcohol sales.
Alcohol was still illegal. It's just turned over to the states.
That's correct. Now then, we have 50 different ways that alcohol is regulated for each state. And each state has these discussions like we're having tonight. We go round and round and round and round. And there's no end in sight.
And now it's being sent to the 75 counties in this state.
Yes.
Mr. Edwards.
Councilor Hope, you said that they had the option to approve all of them and let ABC deal with it. What about if they deny all of them? Is that an option? And which one of those two options would we most likely, as a county, to get sued? In your professional opinion.
If you, let me think through that out loud. If we approve all of them, we're not going to get sued.
Okay. If we deny all of them.
If we deny all of them, we're going to get sued by the people to which we deny. We're not going to get sued by the people we approve.
So they're going to sue under what grounds that we denied? If we're denying all of them, if we have an ordinance that says we're not going to approve any, then under what grounds are they suing us?
It depends on what's said in the meeting. If you have an ordinance that says we're not, first of all, I'm not sure that we can do an ordinance that says we're going to deny all of them.
Can we find that out?
Well, yeah, I'll do a little bit. As always, I'll look into a little bit more. But when the state legislature sends something to the quorum court and says we want you to act on this, I don't think that you can say, in my opinion, right now, before I look it up, I don't think that this quorum court can pass an ordinance say we're going to deny all of them any more than a circuit court judge can pass a court order that says I'm going to grant custody to these certain people under these circumstances, or I'm not going to grant custody to anybody who does this. That's not how that works. They send it to us as a case-by-case basis, and that's how we've got to take it.
So let's say I was still a JP, which I am not. The majority of the people in my district do not want it, and I voted no on that issue. I get sued over that, too?
You can get sued over anything.
Well, I understand, but because, you know, there's got to be something here.
Well, yeah, there's a difference between saying I'm gonna disapprove this ordinance because I'm going to disapprove this permit because I see traffic hazards and there's too many alcohol permits already in that area and so forth, and he's someone saying, I'm going to disapprove this ordinance because
So let me
something that's illegal about, or I don't like something about the unconstitutional provisions, race, ethnicity, something like that. Somebody says something like that.
This court today ain't going to be the court that's here in January. Right. So this court today can deny every one of them that come to December 31st.
I don't care who wrote it. Court that's elected in January. But that's my personal opinion, and I would be totally opposed to it.
I understand. So then are we going to get sued
because this court rules one way and a new court rules another?
But I think that's where we have to have some standard.
So, Counselor, I guess to Mr. Edwards' point, could we not? We're getting into hypotheticals, and I get it. We're probably getting the cart before the horse. But let me summarize it. Maybe we consider establishing an ordinance that says as long as Faulkner County is dry, we're not going to approve permits in the unincorporated part. That may be what he's trying to state. And not to put words in his mouth. I'm not even sure that's worthy of a comment. I'm just saying that's what I heard basically him say. But if we establish guidelines that are consistent, I can see that being more fair if we go by the guidelines, to Justice Houston's point, and that would even hold up as being consistent even every 2 years as the court changes.
Yeah.
Because the guidelines would be consistent.
I think you're in a legal better place to establish some guidelines.
We need it as black and white as we can possibly get it.
Legally, and I hate to keep saying this, but it's true. Legally, if you write something out that says we're going to disapprove every permit because it's a dry county, legally what you're saying is we're not going to let anybody serve alcohol because it's illegal to sell alcohol. Legally, that doesn't make sense. The way this is written, legally, that does not make sense.
So I see the legal aspect, but I also think, to your point, and you made the point very clear, about that what the perception of a dry county is and what the legal definition is, two different things.
As far as the east is from the west.
That's right. But the fact of the matter is the population of Faulkner County, the perception is reality.
Correct.
By and large. Okay. So let me ask any members of the quorum court, any additional questions, comments? All right, so I actually think this has been a good discussion tonight. This has raised a lot of questions. So what I would like to do as the chair is to go ahead and table this. I don't know if that requires a vote or not. I think I'm going to go ahead and table it. It gives us some time to discuss it. I think the one thing that I would like to ask, and I'm not sure if I want to ask the council this or maybe even just as good, is to get the ABC, somebody from the ABC representative, to come talk to us. And I'm not even sure what the questions are that we need to ask, because we don't know what we don't know in this situation. And I think we need to get them here so that we can start asking questions so that we can learn what we don't know. So would it be more appropriate to have Councilor Hogue ask for that, or is that something you can do?
She likes me today, and I'm going to let Councilor Hogue ask her so that she may continue to like me tomorrow. She may not want to come.
Is that something we can do?
Oh, you can do that. Obviously, they don't have to come, but I bet they will. The question I'm going to ask in return is, do you want the ABC director to come or the staff attorney to come? If you're asking a lot of legal questions and you invite the director, they're going to say, well, my attorney's not here.
We know the directors don't really.
Usually she is.
She is.
We know the directors usually don't know anything, so let's have somebody.
Amen.
I think it would probably be appropriate to ask the ABC board, could they send a representative down here that could come and talk to us in an intelligent manner?
I'll call up there and
not an agent, not a law enforcement agent that's not going to be able to answer legal questions, because that's what their enforcement guy's trying to tell me.
We could call Ron Moore and ask him to.
Yeah.
Who?
Ron Moore. He used to be the director.
Okay. So if we can do that and let me know, and we will. Margaret, if we can go ahead and schedule, potentially get on the books for Courts and Public Safety next month. Maybe we can do it that.
Sure.
I mean, that's a month. So hopefully
I'll have a little bit more prepared, and I'll see if somebody's willing to come.
Okay, so for the gallery here tonight and everything, I know I really didn't open it up to the floor much. You know, I would encourage you, if you have questions, reach out to your JP and give them your input, because it's going to be your JP that's going to be voting on this at some point. So I would encourage you to reach out to them, you know, to give them your feedback one way or another. And I'll close with Justice Houston. I appreciate what you're trying to do here. Even though I have a little bit of a different view, I'm more...
Agreed, as we should.
That's right. But I like the fact that we're trying to establish some types of guidelines if we go this direction that will help us be consistent with the people that come in here and ask.
Yes, sir.
I think that's fair. My main concern based on conversations and things I've heard. We need to have a defined process that everybody has to follow.
Right.
Okay, Mr. Higgins.
Sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justice.
Your date for your next, if I'm getting somebody from ABC to come here, I need a specific date. Do you know a specific date?
Ms. Martin?
October the 9th at 6:15.
October 9th, 6:15. Chairman?
Yes.
Is that your date?
Yes, I'm writing it down.
Okay. I'll invite him.
All right, any other word?
I know you said you didn't open it up to the gallery.
Yes, ma'am.
But as you all were discussing, and I just began to look at some data, and especially when I was canvassing Justice Houston, I ended up at lunch in our neighbor Pulaski County and found myself in a dry area of a wet county. And so as I looked on the Arkansas map, I see that there are just a few wet counties in Arkansas, but there are a whole lot of wet counties with dry areas, one being the county I grew up in, Crittenden County. But it was just not black and white, wet or dry.
Right.
But then that third component, I thought, made it interesting, which almost sounds like practically where we are.
No, that's a fair observation. I think that's some of the information that we'll be looking from the ABC board for information on options that we haven't even considered, finding out what we don't know.
Chair, right. May I ask one question too?
Yes, ma'am.
I was also curious if ABC has been approving these in the past. We might want to look at the data of what they've already passed in Faulkner County. How many restaurants do we have that already have these liquor licenses? Because now
in the county,
more, and there's been a precedent maybe set in the county with however many restaurants there are that are currently doing it.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about that at the last meeting. So my understanding is that there's two in the unincorporated part of the county. They happened not on my term, and I don't really care that it sets precedent. I mean, that's just my view. So, I want to be fair with people, but what happened at the Supper Club 15 years ago is kind of irrelevant in my opinion. Just my opinion on it. All right, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
We're done. Thank you very much. I appreciate your patience.
All right. Doing okay?